FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/27/18. First, a happy and a healthy new year to you and yours, all of you out there. Hey, maybe the stock market, if you want a happy new year ahead, is a good place to stay away from. You'll have to make that decision. But Ned Schmidt, his feeling is he may be wrong, but he's never in doubt. Hey, be a part of the show and email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, Ned, markets go up, markets go down, but we're always here together. Welcome back.
Hi, it's good to see you. You know, when you said never in doubt, not necessarily always right. Kerry, I have good company when I'm talking to you this morning.
Absolutely. I'm in the same boat as you, Ned, for sure. And look, it's a crazy world out there. It's a crazy market. You know, what seemed unthinkable just a few short months ago now appears to really be the new reality here. We might be in a bear market, God forbid.
You know, to borrow from a great philosopher, the changes in the markets may mean we're seeing markets changing. You know, let's state the obvious, and gold has been winning.
Yeah.
I mean, that the Federal Reserve raising interest rates would eventually do some damage to the stock market was a given.
Yes.
And since we were in a mania bubble or whatever you want to call it, the market fought that because people thought they had found another safe haven in that technology internet fantasy. You know, I don't know how many times we have seen the market say this dozen stocks will guarantee you to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go back to Polaroid and Xerox.
The Nifty 60 or the Nifty 50 from the 60s.
And none of them are even around anymore.
That's right. Xerox is gone.
Polaroid, I guess, is somewhere by private investors. But
yeah, it's just a name now, you know? Just a name.
Yeah. And, you know, the interest rates play a role, but 2.25%, 2.5% interest rates doesn't change the world a lot.
No.
But the Federal Reserve winding down its bond portfolio does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since they started, what they're doing is they're letting bonds mature in their portfolio without reinvesting the proceeds.
Right.
Now, they have so far withdrawn total over $350 billion. So they've got $350 billion in bonds mature. That withdraws $350 billion from the financial system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just entries on the banks, on the Federal Reserve's computer system.
Correct.
But bank reserves on deposit at the Fed, banks keep their idle cash, not in their vault, but at the Federal Reserve. Those deposits have dropped by $500 billion. So that just from the Federal Reserve alone, we've denied the financial markets $340 billion.
Correct.
Then we got the guys at the U.S. Treasury, guys and girls at the U.S. Treasury. They have borrowed in the past year $1.4 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And so taken together, we're talking about the Fed and the Treasury have sucked $1.7 billion.
Trillion.
Out of the financial. 1.7 trillion, right.
Mm-hmm.
Starts to mount up when you got all those zeros.
Yeah, pretty soon you're talking about real money.
to quote Senator Dirksen. And there's no chance that's going to be less in the next year. I mean, Congress is not going to lower the deficit. I don't think there's any chance of Congress cutting the spending program. Do you care?
I'd like to see it, but I haven't yet.
So we're talking about another $1.7 trillion coming out of the financial system in the next year. Now, that's money out of the investment world. It comes from selling bonds. Mm-hmm. That money's not available for the stock market. It's less money that can go into stocks, and some of it's going to flow out.
Right.
So it's a flow of money out of the investment world. Now, they're selling bonds. They're not selling gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so gold is not impacted negatively in this environment. What it's done is allowed gold to rise. And we may begin to see in the new year some buying. In other words, there has to have been buying to get it to go up to 1275 or whatever we were this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really more people quit selling because they had to go cover their tails in their stock portfolios.
Yes.
And so gold has been allowed to rise. And it looks good. And if you look at a U.S. chart, the picture is beautiful. I mean, it just looks nice. It broke above 1250. Now we start looking for round numbers at 1300, 1350. But when you look at the world, what are world investors seeing? If you go look at the gold in euros, it's near a 52-week high.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, Canadian dollars, it's near. In British pounds, it's at a 52-week high.
Hmm.
In the yuan, it's at a 52-week high. In the Aussie dollar, it's at a 52-week high. So investors around the world are saying, when they look at their picture of gold, they're saying gold is a winner. I want to buy a winner. I don't want to buy Apple, that doggy telephone company. I don't want to buy Google, the company everybody hates.
And
so people around the world are looking at gold and say, this is a winner. Why don't I buy it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the situation is good there. And then we've got the picture in silver, Kerry. I mean, silver has got to have been the most frustrating investment of the last 5 years. I can't think of anything else.
Agreed. Well, you and me both. You and me both, Ned. Yep. So,
but we finally got above $15 this week. We got as high, and what I've been watching is the intraday highs in silver. Mm-hmm. And they're looking good. I mean, this morning, the intraday high was 1532.
Yeah.
If you look at the chart, we've got a base in silver of $14 to $15 that goes back to like August.
You're right.
That's a big base.
That is big.
And I see us, I see this break above $15 as people finally starting to nibble a little bit. I mean, they're not going to go buy cryptocurrencies, that's for sure.
Yeah, you mean cryptocurrency?
Are they still trading them?
Yeah, but we'll see for how much longer.
You know, I think this $15 confirms
mm-hmm.
what we're seeing in gold, Kerry.
Sure.
And I think that's going to draw some people. Now, we're a long way from the world capitulating, saying everybody wants to own gold and silver. We're not to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that part, still out there, that's our carrot.
Yeah.
And I don't believe people are going to suddenly rush, you know, go cash CDs, mortgage their houses, and go buy stocks again. I mean, mm-hmm. Kerry, investors in January, if you have a stock account in January, you're going to vomit when you get your statement.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah.
The average investor is going to have a 15 to 20% loss in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Since the stock market, U.S. stock market highs, U.S. investors have lost $5 trillion or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I think they're going to be looking for alternatives. And the one thing they don't know is gold or silver. So mm-hmm. I think we'll see some money flow into the metals in next year. More flow into went into them in 2018. And the situation when we're looking at a price of any asset to rise is we want a major low. Gold did that in August. And we want relative strength to be strong. And make sure you understand what I mean by relative strength. I mean the price performance of gold relative to the stock market. I'm not talking about the relative strength index, RSI. Mm-hmm. That's right. Not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relative performance. You've got gold outperformed S&P 500 and the NASDAQ for 2018. And believe it or not, silver is close to outperforming the stock market, or matching it at least, which is really a surprise.
It sure is.
And so I think money is drawn to relative strength. People like to buy winners. They don't like to buy losers.
Mm-hmm. That's very
But it's
true.
Easier. It's easier to find losers. You know, I wish we could find a place for them.
Yeah. Hey, some people just have a total knack for finding losers. They're so good at it, right?
Right. Now, the gold stacks are kind of frustrating me here. I really thought they'd be doing better than they are. GDX is just below its 200-day moving average. 200-day moving average is about 2130 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in January, there shouldn't be much selling in January. And we do have the merger of Barrick and Rand Gold next week. It's going to make a bigger company. It's going to be of more interest to institutional investors because of it will be a bigger company. And they are already moving to reduce staff and reduce costs. So they're serious about that. They've laid off, I think, 90 people in Toronto already. And so that's moving forward. So I think that will draw some money to that stock, simply because it'll be a bigger company. And they really, if you look at the combined production of those two companies, in their presentation on their website at Barrick, there's a map of where their gold mines are, active and developed. They only have one problem, and that's in East Africa,
right,
in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be some resolution there, but most of that, their production is North, South America, Western Africa. I think that'll be a lot more interest to people.
Yep. I think you're right. Well, this could be the time now. I mean, just as we're looking here at Kitco, which is where we always go for gold prices, up to date, we're looking at gold being up today alone $9.70. Silver's up 21 cents. So that's an indication we've seen a lot of strength in the past 2 weeks, whether it's a bump or whether this is the promised land. Let's see what's going to happen, but certainly things have changed. What's going on with the ags now?
Well, in agriculture, the attitude toward China is improving a little bit. China has made some gestures on U.S. agricultural commodities that are encouraging. They suggest China saying, let's talk. And so we're now moving into this 90-day period where the talks have to do some. Mm-hmm. China had bought pork, U.S. pork. They have a serious problem, as we've talked about before, with African swine flu.
Yes, correct.
What happens, Kerry, when you have animal diseases? The first thing you do is no animals move. Everything stays in place. You can't ship anything.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
You've got provinces now where the pork prices are up 60% to 100%.
Really?
And, you know, and to put it in something people might understand, it's like all of a sudden you raise the price of mozzarella cheese in New York City by 100%.
Or in Rome, in Italy.
It's just a basic commodity. I mean, pork is one company used to brag they had 261 different ways to cut up a pig. That's how pork is to them.
Yeah, well, that's
China. No, go ahead.
That's what they do in Washington when they make legislation. They have about 1,000 ways to cut up the pork, right?
Oh, I do. That's for sure. That's for sure. Plus playing off their girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. You got it.
Now, China has bought recently 2.7 million tons of soybeans. Okay. 2.7 million tons of anything is a lot.
Sure.
So there's encouraging. Now, the fundamental situation we go into next year is the world has too many soybeans and not enough corn. Mm. Soybeans were down this year. Corn prices were actually up because the world is not producing enough corn. It's one of those commodities where we're in short supply.
Right.
We're consuming more than we produce. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is, I think we're going to get some moderation in the Chinese situation. And I just can't tell you what day or when it's going to be. Mm-hmm. In terms of the ag stock theory, I think Archer Daniels is still the one stock to own. One that's of interest, but I can't tell you what the upside could be, is Bunge, BG. Now, this is a company that cannot manage itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they were in a bathtub with two rubber ducks, they wouldn't know what to do. There have been two attempts to buy this company. One was Glencore, the big commodity trader, and the other was Archer Daniels. Both of those fell through. Well, the board and investors have finally said, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
They put two activist investors on the board. They are part of the committee looking at what they call strategic alternatives. You know, what part are we going to sell? Then the CEO of the company announced he was stepping down. He's going to stay there while they look for a new one.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a thorn in selling the company.
Right.
Then the most interesting part is the CEO of Syngenta.
Yes.
Syngenta was bought by ChemChina, so it's owned by a Chinese chemical company.
Mm-hmm.
Their CEO of Syngenta has gone on the board of Bunge, BG.
Right.
I think that's an indication they might be open to selling it to someone in China.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't tell you when those sales might occur and how much they're going to be. But I think there's going to be more money than the $52 or so dollars it's selling for.
Yeah.
So that's of interest.
Yeah.
The big exciting thing that's going on is going on behind the scenes, and you don't see it, Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
We've had genetically modified plants and animals, primarily plants. Genetically modifying something says we take a gene from another species.
Right.
And put it in the plant.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative that's now on the scene is gene editing.
Right.
This is where we go into the genes within a plant or animal and take a scissors to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is not going to be labeled genetically engineered. There's no requirement to label it genetically modified because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we have two agencies, the USDA and the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, to produce a genetically engineered plant or animal in the United States, you have to get it approved by the USDA. To sell it to consumers, you got to get it approved by the FDA.
Right.
And the FDA is now, I think they've got a handle on it now, how they're going to make the approval process. So we're going to be looking at some interesting things happen in technology in the next year. We've got Aqua Bounty with their genetically modified salmon. We've got genetically engineered tilapia coming. They're going to make the fillets bigger.
Is it going to taste better than the farm-raised stuff? I don't really care for farm-raised fish, whether it's salmon, tilapia, whatever. It just doesn't taste as good.
Well, tilapia is a popular fish because it's a very bland fish.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons we've been able to import tilapia from China is because of that. Because a good fishmonger can smell tilapia and tell you whether or not it's edible.
Really?
Because the basic tilapia has no taste or aroma. And chefs love it because they can do all kinds of things with it. We're genetically engineered cattle so they don't have horns, which is aggravation in places like dairies and such.
Mm.
A big one may be cottonseed, Kerry.
Yeah.
Cottonseed is inedible. It has its plant produces a chemical that insects don't like. Well, because of that, it makes the seed taste like crap.
Yeah.
So they're working to genetically engineer cotton plants so they don't have much of this chemical in it, and we can start eating cotton seeds.
I don't know what they're going to think of next, Ned. What other kind of stuff do they want us to start eating? They already want us to eat crickets and grasshoppers. I don't think Americans are really going to take to crickets, do you?
But fried stink bugs are popular in Mexico now. They take it easy. You're going to see stink bugs at the grocery, probably at Whole Foods.
Yeah. Whole Foods, they're going to have a cricket aisle, huh? And so locally now, raised crickets are going to be better for you?
The lot of excitement, I don't know how much anybody's going to ever make money in it, is the new farm bill legalizes hemp production.
Right. Correct.
You cannot smoke enough industrial hemp to get high.
But you can get CBD, right?
You pass out at first. Just from sheer exhaustion.
Yeah. Your lungs will be bleeding.
There's a lot of talk about this crop and what it can be used for. Of course, a popular item, Kerry, is it CBD oil?
Yeah,
or
correct.
Is it CBD?
Yeah, kind of.
Which I don't.
Kind of.
Which is another crazy thing.
Yeah.
But the FDA has got involved and is out looking for somebody to go to court with over CBD oil. So if you're a producer of CBD oil, you're just waiting for the front door is going to knock with a subpoena any day now.
Yeah, watch out for that CBD oil. It's supposed to be so good for you. It cures everything, Ned. I heard from migraine headaches to seizures to hemorrhoids and everything in between. It will fix it.
It'll fix the other thing, too?
Everything. It's a cure-all for whatever ails you, Ned. So, you know, and there was a case that said that states that outlaw it could outlaw it. And states that don't outlaw it. So it's in an uncertain legal realm right now. Nobody knows where this thing is going to wind up, right?
No. But you're going to see some product. It's very popular in the making and fabrics by a certain crowd.
Yeah, and fabrics make sense.
And the seeds do have a food value.
Correct.
So we could see it going in animals. They just can't figure out where to grow it or how to harvest it. We don't have any equipment. We don't have any equipment designed to harvest hemp. So somebody's got to invent a new header for a combine.
Yeah, because the stuff is so thick that your normal Stupax or whatever normal combine is just not going to cut through this stuff, right?
Well, and it's also tall.
Yes.
I mean, this plant can grow up. 15 feet tall.
Yeah, 8 feet, easy.
And so yeah. See, it's one of those things easier said than done.
Yeah, well, you know, the real problem with hemp was that it's too hard for the helicopters to tell it apart from cannabis. So they wind up, planting all sorts of hemp fields as a diversion for the cannabis field, and it just takes a lot more time. So you just outlaw hemp and DuPont is happy with it because then they don't have competition for their synthetic fibers. Hemp is like great in clothing, wallpaper. Or you could use it for so many different things if you could cut it down. You might need a buzzsaw to do that, though.
I'm really concerned about how much you know about hemp, Kerry.
I've been studying the sector. You know, we have a lot of cannabis sponsors of our show.
But cannabis is legal in some places, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But that's a legal product.
There was never a reason. There was never a reason to ban hemp because there's no THC in it to speak of. And you know, crazy. But that's our government at work. Your government at work, Ned.
This now, unfortunately, they're not working this week.
Well, 25% of them, but the other half never work anyway. The whole concept of a government worker is in large part an oxymoron. You know, that's like jumbo shrimp, right? When was the last time you saw a jumbo shrimp walking around? It just doesn't happen. So you always got to keep that in mind. Well, anyway, Ned, we got to take off now. Let me just mention your august publications. First, we have the Value View Gold Report and, of course, the Agri-Food Value View. If you got any questions or comments for Ned or myself, then email us kl@carrylutz.com. If you're on YouTube, then please like, share, and subscribe us. We love to hear from you. And it makes my day when I'm banging back a cup of Java at a undisclosed coffee shop in Palm Beach County. Hey, while you're at it, if you're listening to the show through any other sources, just share us with a friend. Let them know that you like the show and you think they will too. All of that really helps a lot, gets our numbers up, makes the show more popular and viable so we can give you more things like more videos, etc. Hey, and of course, the Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. Ned, a happy and a healthy new year. We'll be catching up with you in 2019 when I'm sure all hell is really going to break loose.
All right. Take care, Terry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.